Our gracious and loving Heavenly Father, we come to thee once again to thank you and to praise you for all the blessings you've given us this day. And again, for the privilege we have, Father, of meeting together again to worship you. Father, we thank you so much for giving us this day. We're thankful so much that we're able to be here tonight. And there are some, Father, that cannot be here for various reasons. Father, help us to look unto you for our help and our guidance. Help us to be more faithful, Father, to trust in you to help us to solve all of our earthly problems. Help us, Father, to always be mindful of you. Be mindful that we are your creation and that you're proud of us and that you would have us to do what you have asked us to do. Thank you for looking after our lives.
Amen.
Father, thank you for your Son who came into the earth and lived among men and taught us the things that you have us to do. To give us your word, Father, that we can have a guide to. Help us to go through this life, Father, and to know and to read and to understand the things that you have purposely put here for us. Father, we pray for those that are around about us that use your word in a way that seems right. And Father, we only wish that we all could teach and believe the same thing. Mm-hmm. Father, thank you so much for the church that meets here. We need your help, Father, into helping us to grow. Amen. We need ourselves to be encouraged, Father, to teach those that are around about us. Father, we are grateful for the land in which we live, the freedoms that we enjoy, the bounty that we have. We pray tonight, Father, that you will protect this land and keep us, that we may be a shining light to the world. We pray for our leaders, Father, that they will look unto you for guidance and for help and not to man's wisdom. But we see, Father, what the wisdom of man leads us to, and that's down a path, Father, that the devil himself approves. Father, we're thankful for the men and women that serve in the armed forces, that protect us. We pray, Father, that you watch over them and care for them and keep them from harm's way. Thank you so much for allowing us to be here to listen to another lesson tonight from your word. We pray for our brother Robert that he will present it in such a way that we can understand it and put it in our hearts, live it out in our lives, Father, to make us better Christians. There are so many things, Father, that we could pray about and thank you about. To help each and every one of us in our daily lives. And Father, we just ask you to continue to bless us. And at times, Father, we know that we sin, and Father, that we can only ask that you will help us to be strengthened, to overcome our weaknesses, and to ask you to forgive us of our sins.
Yes.
Father, we ask you that to help us to love one another more every day and you above all things. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Good. Well, brethren, when I go to put together sermons and lessons based upon what I perceive as needs of people and circumstances, it often is not the local congregation's need, but it can be the needs of various brethren I've seen far and wide. And in this regard tonight, I want to follow up with what I presented this morning regarding reviving our service. If you would turn with me in the Bible to the book of Romans chapter 8, we'll get there in just a moment. I want to set out this idea in front of us, please, that the Scripture tells us that there is something we can do. You know, it's a good thing to note that if we have a difficulty in life and we have an answer to it, sometimes the blood supply can be by availability to people. And it adds on and it can match up with the A's and the B's and other things about blood flow. And God's Word has certain things that if we do that, we'll find a real answer to the rest of everything that we seek to do. And that is the idea of the word hope. Hope can help us to be people, as I mentioned this morning, who love the Word of God, who follow the will of God, who worship God in spirit and in truth, who go the ways of the world in large and pushes them aside in order to prefer to do the will of the Heavenly Father. Hope is such a thing, it's powerful. It's described by Paul in Romans 8, beginning at verse 24. We are saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for it? Hope is that which we anticipate. We have a reason to anticipate it, because faith itself has evidence. In Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. There's evidence there of an apple pie that's baking in the oven. You walk into the house, it gets your aroma to your nose, and you know that there's an apple pie in preparation. Now, there is some substance there for that belief because of the smell. Though I do not see it in the oven, do not see what's going on yet, I have a belief that it's there in the kitchen somewhere because that's the way that it is. Faith is the evidence of things hoped for. There's evidence for that. Who can explain how things came to be? Just by mortal men. The trees we have, the crops that we have, the gardens that grow. Who can explain the power within that little seed that is allowed to germinate and grow and develop into such a vast tree, ultimately, without describing the awesome power of the Almighty, of God? We find ourselves seeing the evidence of things not seen. But we find ourselves with a hope that we can have that faith. And once we have that faith of that which we hope for, we have that faith that assures us that we didn't missmell the apple pie and we did not misstate the other things about life. Here is the way that it really is, and therefore we get into hope. And he says to this hope, we are saved by that hope. We have a hope of the forgiveness of God. We have a hope of everlasting life. And to those who are listening and studying with us by way of the internet systems, we have literally thousands of them that will be doing that. And they too will recognize the reason why faith develops into a hope. And the hope is that which will save us if we maintain that hope in our conscience of life. As we think about it, pray about it, think about it, and do things of it, It will bless our lives with existence with God. We'll be people who want others to know about that hope. We'll be people who talk with others and find methodologies whereby we can introduce the subject to others. And as a result of that, have them to raise questions. Because in 1 Peter 3 and 15, he says, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and be ready always to give answer to every man that asketh the reason of the hope that is in you, and answer with meekness and fear." What are we supposed to do? We're supposed to separate the Lord into our heart. We're supposed to be ready to give answer to every man that asks a reason of the hope that is in you. They won't ask for your feelings about it. They'll ask for the reason of the hope that is in you. They can see that kind of feelings in the lives of a lot of other people and a lot of circumstances in life. There was a couple over in the Oklahoma area that they were part of a religious movement once upon a time, and they tried as much as they could to have the Spirit of God come upon them and come into them, that they might represent that cause and be people who change the way of life. But they recognized quickly as they were there, sitting in the pew and watching others so act as though they had this gift to them. In their Mondays and Tuesdays, Wednesdays, Thursdays, Fridays, all day Saturday, how different they were than what they claimed on their Sundays. They claimed to have that come upon them and direct them and guide them. But they were not more honest and dependable on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. They were not more compassionate and thoughtful to others on Thursday, Friday, Saturday. They were simply not what the Bible says in other verses are to be the kind of ways and habits and traits of those who serve God. They recognized that. And when somebody who worked with this good man asked him one day where he was going to church services, as he put it, and he told him what they were doing and what they were looking for there, and he explained to him that there was a way in which you can have the Lord's teaching. And how about Brother Robert and I coming by your house and visiting with y'all and studying the Bible with you? And so he came by to pick me up, and there we went, and we went over to this house. And these good folks were willing to open their Bible and read the plan of salvation as Paul described it in Romans 6 to the brethren at Rome. They were willing to read what the Jewish conversions to the people on the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 were. And that was enough for them to realize this method is to be obedient to the Lord. And thus they became obedient to the Lord. Were faithful members there in Oklahoma all through those years of time. And she has since passed away, and he's maintained his faithfulness. Now lives up in the Pontotoc. What a wonderful set of people. The ideals that they had in mind, they were looking for a hope in feelings. They were looking for a hope that had been described to them. But when they read God's word exactly what it said, they could read where Paul wrote to the Romans in this in Romans chapter 6, "But God be thanked that where ye were the servants of sin, you have obeyed." What did they do? They obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered to them. What was that form of doctrine? That form of doctrine was their baptism into Christ, because that's what he appeals to in Romans 6, 1 through 6, that we were baptized into his death and raised to walk. That's a form, a raised to walk in newness of life. And thus that form was theirs. Now then, they were people who had obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine delivered them. Being then made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. And they understood that that's something I can do. That's make me free from sin. And that will make me a servant of righteousness in God. And I want to obey that Lord. What a hope will do for our lives will cause us to answer a question or two, compel us to look further at a situation, and compel us to go back to what God says in His Word to be there. Now, lest we would think that in Romans 8:24, this is the last that's said of this idea. But I want you to notice what it leads to. In Romans 8:24, we're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why yet doth he hope for it? For, he says in verse 25, but if we hope for that which we see not, then do we with patience wait for it. If we have hope, we don't give up. We wait for what that we hope. Because that hope is built on the faith that we have evidence for. And though it's not yet happened, it is something that is bound to happen. We believe that it's going to happen. We look for it, and we look for it with patience. We wait with patience to look for the answer to come. When the Lord Himself wanted people to follow His will and His way, He talked about that hope that they have. And when He talked about that hope that they had, it was based upon what the Word of God had said, and they had complied with it every time, every instance. As we continue on in this 8th chapter, He says in verse 26, likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. Here's the Holy Spirit that comes into the picture of the person's life who has that kind of faith and hope and patience. Now I'm leaving for the Lord. Likewise the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself beareth witness or intercession with us with groanings which cannot be uttered. The idea that the Spirit of God is with us, and that He recognizes who we are and what we are, and He recognizes our thoughts within our hearts. And when we pray, though we do not have the words and we do not have the full description of it, for that fact we do not have the full understanding about maybe what we're asking, it is the case that we will have the representation of the Spirit of God to sum up these things in words that He will use, making intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We couldn't do this. We couldn't speak this way. We could not get there. But the Spirit of God can get there. And because of the prayers that we offer, He helps with our prayers. And He that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit. He's speaking of the Lord in His way and the servant in His way. And He says regarding this, because He maketh intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Then He goes on to say this, and we know that we all work, all things work together for good to them that love God and to them that are called according to His purpose. Here's a person who started out in life and finds that he has an idea about the Creator. He finds that there's a love for God he's to have. And he begins to nourish that love in his heart. He wants to know how he may serve God, how he may obey God, how he might be saved by God. And so he is voicing that. And now then he becomes obedient to the Lord in His way. He's in Christ Jesus. And he has a way of life by which he prays. And in that way of life, he has the Spirit of God to intercede for his prayers. And what good is being done by that? We know that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord and those that are the called according to His purpose. Here's the called people. And that is the way in which we see this to be the case in our daily walk of life. And what a blessing it is for every one of us. In Jeremiah chapter 17 and verse 10, Jeremiah the prophet quotes God as saying, I, Jehovah, search the mind. I try the heart, even to give to man, every man, as a result of God looking in our heart and searching in our heart, it will be the case that he will give us blessings. He closes out this passage in Jeremiah 17:10, according to the fruit of his doing. What is the fruit of my life's activities and prayers? Is the fruit of my prayers and my way of living now a way of trusting in God? A way of living that hope? A way of patiently having that same hope? Or is my way of life a way of fruit that is not a fruit that would bless the role of God in my life? What kind of fruit is the fruit of the Spirit described in Galatians 5? Why, it's love and joy and peace, long-suffering, gentleness, patience, meekness. Wonderful blessings come to us because we bear the fruit in our lives. Think about our bearing the fruit of patience and work with people and care with people and love of people and concern with people. And to introduce a study to somebody because I love you and because I love what work you do and work and help that you are to my life, I would be so pleased to share with you something of God's Word about how I do what I do and how God would want me to tell you. And as a result of that, here's the doing of His will. And God says, I search the hearts, I see the doing. I know what is really the fruit of that person's life because of what he does. Let us be people then who follow the role of God's way and the role of His teaching. He goes on to say the following, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them also he called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? And this all began with hope. We're saved by hope. But hope that is seen is not hope. Once a person has that patience of hope and lives in that righteous way of living for God, looking forward to bearing the fruit that God searches the heart about to see, he sees that fruit born, he sees that way of life that is lived, and he begins to bless that person's life. He has, he said, predestinated that take place. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. In 2 Thessalonians 2 at 14, whereunto he called you by our gospel, Paul writes, to the obtaining of his excellent glory. What happens to those justified? He calls those people and they're justified. And what happens to the justified? They're also glorified. As the time comes along, we'll leave this earthly life. We may be glorified enough for things we think as we live here on this earth. What a blessing from God we have. What blessings He hears. What a blessing from His providence in our daily walk of life. We can see it. We can sense it. Although at the time, maybe we didn't realize that it was the blessings of God to be with our lives. We came to realize back there when I thought I was abandoned and given up and I didn't have any hope of all, I had that hope with me and I had the blessings of God to be there with me. What a blessing we have. As a result of that, we thank God now for His blessing. We thank God for His work in our lives. And as a result of this, we are glorifying Him in this way. We're putting light back upon God in this way. What did He say there in Romans chapter 4 as we read this morning about Abraham? Did He take credit for the fact that Isaac, the son of promise, would be born? No, He did not. God there says through Paul, He did not take credit. He did not bless himself. He did not praise himself. He did not pat himself on the back for this. He looked up and thanked God for this blessing. That was the kind of faith that he had. It was a faith that in his hope and in his rest, he could glorify God for this son of Isaac. Laughter that he had. And Sarah had. What a blessing it is to have this kind of thing in our life. Now, if I miss it in regard to my studies, if I miss it in regard to what I need to do with others round about me and how to guide them and help them to Lord the Lord's way, can I not, with the hope that I bring in my heart, begin to plan a way in which I can advance this thought to somebody? Help somebody to realize. Help somebody to come and be with us at a vacation Bible school or a gospel meeting time. Help somebody in that way. Because I'm patient with it. I have hope. I have peace within it. I have patience within it. I have the blessings of God. And all things will work together for good. Because I love Him. And because I am one of the called according to His purpose. I answered that call of the gospel. He justified me. He's glorifying me as I go, if I can see it enough. And there is the after time where we're glorified with Him in the portals of glory. What a blessing. What a blessing it is. And I hope that all of us can obtain that and see that, sense that as we go through this life. The closing in the book of Romans chapter 8, verses 37 and following is of that word conqueror that he talked about earlier in this chapter. We're more than conquerors. And he goes on to say this in verse 37. Nay, in all these things we're more than conquerors through Him that loved us. For I am persuaded neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height or depth or any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. If we have that hope, we have what we need to develop everything else, to labor and to do, and be conquerors, more than conquerors, through Him who loved us. That's the way of life that He wants us to live. If you're subject to Jesus' invitation tonight, think about your relationship with God and come as we stand as we sing together tonight.
Holding up His banner in the thickest fight, listening for His orders, ready to obey. Who will follow Jesus, serving Him today? Who will follow Jesus, who will make reply? I am on the Lord's side, Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus? Who will make me cry? I am on the Lord's side. Master, here am I. Who will follow Jesus in His work of love? Leading others to Him, lifting prayers above. Courage, faithful servant.